and voted on and authorized, certified, whatever the words are. When I'm at my keyboard, they come naturally, but when I'm talking, they don't. So, officially voted on as of, and then it would have this date. So it'd kind of be what's there plus how we got from there to here.
Okay, so.
And the memorandum to the governor would also,
And I think that's sufficient.
More of the explanation.
Of course, we thought what was done before was sufficient.
Well, it was up until the Attorney General makes their.
Yes.
So that's a simple thing to do for, that's a critical type of action for you to take.
Right. It's just that we have to get the approval of the board.
Well, I would make a motion that we adopt such a certificate for all three rules.
Now, do we need separate motions like we did before?
Yes.
For Rule One, then, starting.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we do a revised or a new certificate of adoption for Rule Chapter One. Is there discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Then I'd make a motion that we adopt the certificate of adoption for Rule Two.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we have a new certificate of adoption for Rule Chapter Two. Is there discussion? Now, this one, the memorandum that we had that talks about getting it in line with the Department of Education thing and the Nebraska statutes and all of that, the responses to Lynn Nelson and all of that, is all of that officially part of something somewhere, or once we adopt the chapter, then it just becomes a chapter like the other ones, and all of that is just stuff that happened along the way?
Yes, that's correct. The one thing that's different about Chapter Two, our current final version of Chapter Two went over to her office August 6th, and we do not yet have feedback from her on Chapter Two. But I feel, pretty confident that it will be approved. If it isn't, then at the next meeting we'd be reviewing the changes anyway. And so my thought is optimistically go ahead and approve it and certify it to be adopted as such, and then we would just be really at the point we were at after the public hearing. We'd go ahead and if we get advice from the AG office that we need to change it, then we'll work on those revisions.
And do a certificate of adoption and then.
Yeah, you just rescind that motion that we made and adopt a new motion.
Well, or do what we're doing now, because we had these motions before and we were okay with them.
Yes.
And then, once the revision happened. So we might just have two revisions on that one instead of one.
Yes.
Because they, as I understand it, they can be passed independent of one another. I mean, each of those chapters is its own entity.
Absolutely. Yes, the only reason we're doing them all at once is because we didn't have rules and regs before and we needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so is there further discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Make a motion to new certificate of adoption for our Rule Three.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we do a new certificate of adoption for Rule Chapter Three. Is there discussion? Now, this one we have the final version, and that's the one that you talked about first, where they did seem to be okay with what we had done.
Yes. Well, they're
so
definitely
far
okay with everything in Chapter One and Three.
Yeah.
We just have to make sure we didn't accidentally put something else new in that we didn't point out to her. But we definitely have not made any of those changes on Chapter 3. I'm confident of that.
Okay. Is there further discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, once again.
Thank you.
We hope that we can finally get some real policies. And I, now the workplace policies and that sort of thing are still being worked on now?
Yes.
Okay. So that'll be a chapter four at some point.
Right.
Not to be confused with the Department of Education chapter four that that some of chapter two had to do with. Boy. Okay.
Because it's Title 192 chapter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So if we remember these things, we'll
yes.
be okay.
Yes.
Okay. The next item on the old business is the budget update. Okay, we are
rolling.
Budget.
Ready to go on with the budget update.
All right. To date, we have received a continuing resolution for our grants for the period that carried us up to October 28. And so that's better than last year when it was February before we got funding for October. So. And the fact that we're at the end of November is beside the point. We do have state funds that we're able to utilize, obviously, and since that state year started in July, and we're so far for fiscal year 04, we're paying most case services from the state funds. Most of our operations we're paying at this point from the carryover that we had from the previous year, and so we're doing all right there. Basically, we're doing okay with, you know, cash flow anyway. We are working on the low vision agreement, which captures some of our non-cash match for us, and. The federal RSA is looking very closely now at cooperative agreements across the country, and so we're really working on that to make sure that indeed it's correct and legal and all that good stuff. Basically, we spend about $10,000 per calendar day in our total budget, just to kind of give you an idea. Let's see, for last year, the amount that we spent on basic support case services was quite a bit higher, let's see, about 19% higher than FY02, but it was still about 8% less than 2001. Just to kind of give you a comparison. And total case services, and that includes basic support as well as older blind and Part B and transition and all of the case services that we spend, is similar. It's closer to last year, it's higher than last year, but not as high as the previous year was. So, you know, I think it's that doesn't mean that we're not doing what we should do with folks. It really means we're doing a good job of making sure that we do research comparable benefits and that we're, you know, doing things in the most efficient way possible. I guess I would just see if you have any questions about the budget. So that's the overview. Oh, I mentioned the continuing resolution for most of the grants. The two grants that we have received full funding on are the transition and the in-service training, since those are actually grant funded instead of part of the budget or the federal budget. And so we do have all of that money, and we just don't have all of the basic support, older blind, Title VII, Part B, and supported employment. Any questions?
So based on the two-year appropriation of the state, Refresh my memory on the level that they funded us for next year.
Let's see.
Based on what we requested.
Gosh. It's been a while since I looked at that. I'm sorry, I can't.
Well, do you remember, I mean, was it much less than what we wanted, or?
It was less. The numbers aren't just popping to mind.
I don't have them with me either.
I'm sorry, Bob. I can't. I can sure report that to you later.
So I guess the issue would be what's, I mean, to reflect or to make the appropriate adjustments in the services to reflect the, or is that, is there still possibility of more money, so there really hasn't been any trim backs?
Okay, thank you. That helps me figure out how to answer. We really have tried very hard not to impact services at all. We have tried to find cost savings in other ways. And one example is in field services, people are very careful about when they use overnights to serve clients. They'll be more likely to work a longer day and return back. And I can't tell you the amount, but it's rather surprising how much just the lodging and meals costs can add up when we do have overnights for staff. Another thing is with voluntary furloughs. We've had in the past three and now a fourth request for a furlough where individuals are working, they're having some days of their normal pay period as not for pay. They also aren't working, but so they have some days off and they don't get paid for it. They're still full-time and they have all their benefits, but we aren't paying the, you know, the salaries for those days. And so that has added up to some thousands of dollars. And we have had some, unfortunately, vacancy savings with not having been able to fill the apartment resource manager in the center yet. And, you know, we had a couple other openings. The support staff in Kearney is still open. We're in the process of hiring there. But so we've had some vacancy savings in the center. Another example, we made a decision, and this was last year, instead of having automatically $25 or $50, whatever it was, to every client every month for activity fund, we only issue activity money when there's an activity, and the center has worked hard to make, you know, as many activities as possible to be free things, like going to a museum, you know, or less cost things, rather than always going to a dinner theater, you know, and so on. So that saves some money. So all of those things we're doing so that we can make up for the loss in actual budget funds available by changing our spending levels rather than actually cutting any services. Now,
Pearl, is that apartment manager, is that a difficult position?
Yes, it is. It is a position where it's not an 8-to-5, which for some people is good, but, you know, it sometimes makes it harder to fill. The biggest challenge to it is that you have to have so many varied skills, and you really need to be able to work very well with crisis and sometimes with a number of people in crisis. You have to be able to multitask really well. You have to be able to work with a wide variety of needs. When individuals come to the center, a lot of times they are at the most kind of critical phase as far as they don't have the skills to live independently, or they wouldn't need to come, but, you know, they, okay, so they're there, and maybe family is trying to pull them back, or, you know, there just are lots of issues, and then at the same time, you walk from that person's apartment to the next person's apartment who is, you know, managing really well and needing now maybe more some real great work with placement opportunities and, you know, there's just the whole scheme of things. So it's...
Does the person live in the apartments?
No, they do not.
Is it correct that that person does need a degree to fill that position?
Yes.
I can see, because we've already had two people in that position we have so far this year.
Right.
And that's expensive, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, and, you know, those things happen.
What kind of a degree do you look for?
We require a bachelor's degree in counseling or a related field, you know, there's no rehab counseling degree. In a Nebraska college.
See, I could see, you know, like a social worker or a counselor.
Maybe you could move on.
You want to move on?
Then you wouldn't have to drive home in the blizzards.
What does it cost?
It's not actually open yet. We plan to open it after the first of the year.
Yeah, I know. I have a master's.
Some of our best folks are individuals that have bachelor's degrees that, in fact, don't have anything to do with counseling. You know, so because we do bring folks in and provide the training and so on, what we want is the experience, the, you know, the intellectual development that one gets through going through a four-year degree program, the maturity, the et cetera.
Since the students are at the center all day, does the person have a role, something to do during the day?
Good question, thank you. Yes, they do. Part of the time they, during the day, are working with newer students who need more intensive training in apartment living. So although that's not a regular class from 9 to 10, it's an intensive focus for somebody just coming into the center. Also, they provide some backup to center staff when that's needed, and they work evenings and some weekend hours, so they're available when the students are not in the training.
Say, if there was a very mature, level-headed young person who was still, you know, didn't have their degree yet, but working on it, is that a possibility to hire them? Is it mandated or something that they have to have a degree?
Well, in a sense, it's mandated by the Rehab Act, which is what they call Comprehensive System of Personnel Development, which is a whole big thing I won't go into, but really what the feds want us to require is a degree in rehabilitation counseling or the highest level in the state. And they're not talking bachelor's, they're talking master's degree. There are very few, we have some applicants for jobs who have master's, but not always, and so our system of personnel development is more that we prefer the master's level, but we'll hire a bachelor level, and then train, and then while they're on staff, we'll help them to pursue their master's degree if they're interested.
What does the position pay?
I can't tell you that off the top of my head. Anybody else remember? I don't know what opening.
I remember, you know, years ago I applied for a job with state social services, and it was very, very low paid. Mm-hmm. But I wanted the job, I wanted to work. I was the only applicant.
Wow.
The only applicant, because people with a master's don't want to work that amount of money.
Well, and of course, we went through that whole process of trying to get the, you know, the salaries raised through that personnel system and all of that. You know, again, I think this is interesting discussion, but we are, is there anything that we need to do or make decision about concerning that particular thing? Except just to get out there and...
Well, not that that job, but I guess it's, you know, Mike, when you were mentioning things, is, you know, what's the contingency plan for dealing with the budget as, and, you know, who knows, are there going to be another round of cuts proposed? I mean, that's...
Right. We're in process of figuring it out. One potential is that with the cooperative agreement from with the low vision clinic at UNO, if we do it right and if we get all the pieces in place, we actually can garner even more match from that than we currently claim. We don't want to just claim a huge amount before we really have it all in place and make sure, because if you claim match and then later the feds come in and say, well, no, this wasn't really match, then you have to reimburse the feds. Well, you sure don't want to do that. So first thing in dealing with any cuts from state funds would be finding ways to make sure that at the very least we can draw down the full federal amount. And so, as you know, the cooperative agreement isn't cash in our pocket to spend, but it can provide us with the match so that we get the full federal dollars. We certainly would also look to friends of the commission to, you know, if we were, say, where we really were short a certain amount. I know that currently they have about $8,000 of stock, and it, you don't want to try to ask them to you know, liquidate that stock at a time when the market has been so bad, and so we haven't pushed that. But if it really became a desperate situation, that would be something we would talk with friends about, and if perhaps they're working on some other projects. We'd be looking at grants. We always are looking at what we can do to bring in additional funds, and we would continue. As you remember, last year, and even, well, the last several years, we have developed specific, you know, strategies, and, you know, there could be things like giving up some of our state cars, which would save money. And the biggest problem with that, well, two biggest problems. One is it's harder for our staff to get out to the people that they need to see across the state. And the other is, you can't just, when you are ready to get a car back, it's not that easy. You have to get approval from all kinds of levels. So we try not to make any changes that are going to have long-term repercussions that will be harder to undo, and to find ways that will either be, you know, work well and enable us to do things in other ways. I guess, you know, we've really looked at our contracts with other entities or other individuals to see if we could find ways in-house to do that job. And an example there is with the newsline coordinator. We used to contract with that person and have that job done in that way. That was one thing we identified, that through the work of the staff across the state, that we could manage the same involvement and get the job done, but without that additional contract. So that was an attempt at some savings. And so all of those are just the pieces I can think of right off the top.
Okay.
But our thinking goes on, believe me. We're always looking at it. Other questions?
Okay, if there aren't any, we'll go on to the website update. And one of the issues that we wanted to actually vote on here today was having to do with the process of archiving and that kind of thing. And Jim Jurak has been the person in training to do the website, getting things up there and organized and all of that. And we had the situation of how long do we want a specific set of minutes to be up there on the website as a separate entity, and then do what with it afterward. And the same was true for you know, whether we wanted focus reports to be in a separate place or not. And so, you know, we need to make decisions about those two things.
Now, what does archiving mean?
Putting it into a separate place. People can still get at it with a link, but it isn't just right up there as a
front page hitch.
Yeah. First thing you come to, type thing.
It seems like to me it would be a good thing to the focus discussions that we have to put that in a separate place, you know, and archive those too. Because sometimes, you know, wading through all the minutes, you know, whatever, I suppose the focus stuff would be right at the top. But I can see an advantage to having it separate in its own little link or whatever.
Now, one of the things we talked about was having, you know, leaving them attached to their respective minutes as the minutes get archived, but also to put them in a separate folder of focus reports.
That makes sense
to me. If it's a doable thing, and I didn't get a specific response to is this doable or whatever, but
it should be doable.
But I think it ought to be, and so if we want to vote on it.
So I'd make a motion that the current minutes is up, and then after the current minute, then it goes into archives, and a separate folder be created with the focus reports.
I'd second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that the I'll wait for discussion, that the minutes be up there, and then there wasn't a specific
The current minutes.
Are you talking about the draft minutes?
Yeah, it seems like to me the current minutes should stay there until we have another meeting, and then be moved to the archives, and the new minutes be put up.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that what your motion is? Okay. Yeah. So it's been moved and seconded to do that, and then to have the focus reports be both attached to the minutes and archived in a separate folder. Is there further discussion? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, and we do have the the virtual suggestion box, although I tried to send a suggestion that should have come to me, and it never did, but then it could be that because it was from my own computer that confused the system. I don't know. Anyway, I haven't followed through to see if that's why that happened or what the deal is, but it does exist, and you know, we want to thank Pearl and Jonathan and whoever else was involved in making that happen. And is there other stuff that you want to update us on, Pearl?
Sure. Let me just say that I'm making a note. I will send a test on the subscription box. Maybe I'll suggest that the executive director pay be doubled. I don't know. We'll see if that goes through.
It would be important to know that suggestions like that aren't going through.
Yeah. Well, I just also want to let you know that the mail list now has over 60 subscribers, so that keeps growing.
Good.
It's great. Keep spreading the word. And if you know of somebody that tried and it didn't work, let us know and we'll try to figure out what the problem is. And just the most recent month in October, there were 3,284 successful requests, and keeps growing every month. So I think that's really good. And Jim has done a lot to try to improve the accessibility and the friendliness with speech. So I think if anytime any of you have, you try to do something with our website that you find a snag to, please let us know, or any suggestions, do that. You can email the webmaster, and he's really doing a good job with taking that seriously. That's all I was going to say about the website.
Okay. Is there anything new on the Friends of the Commission? We got the minutes of the last meeting. And one of the people who was on that had told us that they would take to the Friends that are wanting to get the treasurer's reports or whatever. We didn't, and so I'm thinking that maybe I should make a note to myself to make a contact and see about getting that done, because
are you talking about the treasury report from the Friends, Barbara?
Excuse me?
Are you talking about the treasury report from the Friends?
Yes.
And that was incorporated in the last set of minutes.
Okay, but so we are, you know, I wasn't sure if that was the complete thing or not, but I guess.
When did that come out? I don't remember seeing that.
I think,
that.
Yeah, it was in there. I thought
okay.
It was
I'm not
all right.
sure that I received that either.
Well, I don't think I got I don't have the commission
I
on
did.
My, I have Barbara on my server list, but I don't have the report.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I assumed when I got it that it went to everybody. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Can I just ask a couple of questions? I heard Pearl mention that they have $8,000 in stocks. Do they have, like, another account that's more accessible, easier to get, or do they put
there
everything
are two, in? There are three separate, well, there's three different sets of shares. They're now worth about, at least as of last time we counted, about $8,800, about $1,500 in a cash account or a checking account, if you will.
Okay.
So there's total now worth somewhere around $10,500, but in order to access these stocks, there would have to be a stock transaction and a transfer of that. The particular firm that's holding them wants $350 for that, which strikes me as being outrageous, but that's what they want. So that any time we decide to cash those in, we're cashing minus $350.
Wow. That is a lot of
They money. Charge that per transaction?
Well, this is just a particular kind of a transfer thing. I'm not sure exactly what the details are, but it certainly excesses considering the most stock brokers.
And then how many times a year does the Friends of the Commission meet?
It's somewhat irregular. We're going to meet again. We met last time on the 20th of October, I think it was. We're going to have another meeting this coming Monday.
Is the stock in the Friends of the Commission's name?
I'm not quite sure whose name it's in. I mean, it belongs to us. I'm not quite sure if the names are on there. But it's being held by some brokerage company in Omaha. Hmm. Know who they are, but
maybe you could transfer to Ameritrade or something. Or are they charging $250
to transfer that transfer? You can't get them out without that. Looking at that.
Okay, and are those meetings, like, are they open forum to the public?
Yeah, I mean, we don't make any big public announcement of it, but if anybody wants to show up, that's fine.
And you said there's another one this coming
Monday.
Yeah. Where do you generally meet?
Here, well, across the street, in the conference room.
Okay.
And what time will that meeting be?
At noon.
In case people are wanting to.
How many people are on that board?
I'm not quite sure. There's about eight regular members, and the attendance is rather shaky. But
you're supposed to have an annual meeting in January.
I think that might be true. You can show up with, but we you know, it's. I would say that as presently constituted, it's not a high-powered organization. We've more than anything been lucky as far as getting the money is concerned. And so we haven't really undertaken any significant large-scale enterprise to really raise the kind of funds that I'm sure Pearl would like to have.
We'd all like Pearl
membership,
to have
the problem is that you have to get some high-powered members on there.
High power, high energy, it's been something different.
Because you won't open up your billfold for them, so got to get somebody to do it.
We do accept large contributions now.
And I'm assuming the basic thing for the Friends is to raise money for the commission on a...
That, and we also have provided, for example, recently, we acted as a kind of a conduit for a grant from the Sowers Club on behalf of an individual who needed the funds for assisting in a training program she was in. That just flows through, but the Sowers Club would only make a grant to an organization, and we have one that functioned in that capacity.
Great.
But we're open to providing individual services outside the anything we might do to the commission or with the commission.
Okay, that's great.
So the charter is basically somewhat open-ended, isn't it? I mean, as far as servicing blind issues.
I think the language is provide equipment, services, and training to blind persons who are in need, and if those are services that are not immediately available or at all available from the commission, we would certainly consider them.
Now, it's not a part of the commission, it's a separate
entity.
Yeah,
that part I understood, but I just, I've known about them, but I guess this was my opportunity to bombard Dr. Nyman with questions about it.
That's right.
Well, you can, as far as the legal things, you can bombard Mr. Arrester because he did the legal work.
Oh, okay. I will do that. I have any questions, I know who to ask.
Okay. You'll get good answers. Yeah. You can always ask.
Yes. Bill, would you think money could be used for MOPIX? No,
it wouldn't be for that because that's not a. It actually, things that the commission itself cannot provide out of its funds, or has a shortage of some project that it wants funded outside. That's what that's for. It's not for MOPEX or anything like that.
I mean, like Newsline, even and before it was established, it would seem like that might be something, or is it? Would it be?
Yeah, they have their own. They have their own foundation.
Right, but I just meant if Newsline wasn't in Nebraska and we wanted to get Newsline, then the good Friends help. I guess when you look at the original money that was put up to get Newsline.
Yeah, one of my, just a minute, Dorothy, I'll get to you, but one of my points of confusion or concern or whatever with what exactly the Friends does is who is it that is deciding whether it is a project that it is authorized to do, or, you know, because my understanding originally was that it would find funding sources, but whatever it did would be done through the commission. That is to say that the whatever money was raised, whatever that was going to be used for, would go to the commission, and then the commission would disperse it or do whatever it was that would be done. But it's sounding to me like at this point that if there's something that the commission can't do or wouldn't do or whatever for somebody, that it would almost be like a person could go to this as a separate funding source or something, and in which case I'm wondering how it would ever be able to develop any kind of funding base, because I would think that pretty soon people would, if they learned that if the commission doesn't provide whatever, just go to the Friends and see if they'll do it, and although I guess that could meet individual people's needs one way or another, I'm wondering how that overall would work.
Well, I think a client or someone that can go to the commission and say, you know, oh, I'd like to go to the orientation center, but I don't have decent clothing, so forth. Well, then, who's there over there? They could come to the commission and say, well, we have this problem that and so forth, what do you think about it? And then they'd take it from there, they'd vote it up or vote it down. Final word has to come through the foundation.
I would think that any kind of services that would be ordinarily part of case services for an individual, we would never touch that.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, we get, for example, as a matter of convenience, because of the way the state deals with cash funds, we do serve as a kind of a flow-through for funds that are used by students in the center for personal effects and other kinds of things. So we do have a standing allocation of, you know, a few dollars each 6 months or whatever it is. So I mean, we're not rigid. As I say, this question of an individual who needed $400 for some support in part of a training program, we conduited as a flow through for that. So you know, there are a whole variety of things. But I think you're right in one respect, please, Barbara, that our main thrust would be to make funds, get enough funds available to make it a meaningful resource to the commission for either matching federal funds in some cases or just simply a grant for a specific project.
Well, I guess, you know, it seems like a person could potentially go to both, you know, if the commission were possibly, you know, possibly was paying for something, and somebody went to the Friends and said that the commission wasn't, you know, it seems like there needs to be some kind of an accountability or a check and balance or whatever. And also, if we can get the Friends eventually to be an entity that has, as you put it, high-powered people in the community, they're not going to know what case service ordinarily funds or things like that. And it seems to me like if there aren't some kind of established mechanisms for how the money not only is raised but also how it is used, that it could be easily misused.
Well, it's spelled out in the bylaws and on the document itself how they operate and fund and so forth.
As far as anybody coming and saying, you know, the commission won't provide these funds, we do have the check. That typically, we have someone from the commission. Carlos has been attending as the designated representative, and if someone said that you know that would not be provided, the commission refused to provide that. We certainly have a quick way to check that out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions? Would it be possible, since you are at this point anyway, currently secretary of the Friends, to send the minutes to all of us rather than since obviously I blew it in getting it.
I can get the email addresses from you and somebody.
Okay.
Yeah,
I would appreciate it.
There is just one email address for us, and so it's, you know, that way it goes to whoever the commissioners are.
Yeah, and it's just an easy way to do it, because everyone just go.
I have you on there, Barbara, and so that's
okay.
That doesn't do it, right?
No, it doesn't. Most of the time I do remember to forward things that come just to me, but sometimes if I don't check what the address is that it has come through, then I sometimes think that it came through the commission address and it really came to my personal one or whatever. The commission-board@nol.org is the address to reach all of us. And I will make a note to send that to you. And I hope I remembered it. Yes, it's commission-board, and everything is small letters, at NOL, that's Nebraska Online, .org. And messages sent through that address will come to us without going anywhere else on the way or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything else on the Friends? The last old business item is the Nebraska Information System update.
Madam Chairman.
Yes, oh, and Dorothy. I'm sorry.
Got my legs crossed.
I'm just.
Can you take a bathroom?
Oh. Is that what you were seeking the floor for before?
Yes.